Good morning, everyone. My name is David. I'm one of the elders here at Crossroads. And today we're going to open up by reading through Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This psalm has long been a favorite of mine, and I was really excited to get to talk to you guys about it. I've often thought of it as Psalm 23 on steroids, and it's a completely happy accident that 46 is exactly double 23. But there are a lot of parallels. You'll see the idea of water. You'll see the idea of peace and God helping us in the midst of troubles. To be fair, that's in a lot of Psalms, but Psalm 23 is very popular, and I'm a bit of a hipster, so I'm like, Psalm 46 is better. No offense if you like Psalm 23. It's just my liking for it. So to open up with the prescript, for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. Over the last few weeks, particularly Kate took us through some of the meanings of some of these musical terms. Tom Kay had talked a little bit about them. And so I'm not going to go into too much detail. They got all that technical stuff out of the way. But there is something as I was studying this that I found really, really helpful. And it's a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And he said about these musical terms in general. He said, "These old musical terms cannot be interpreted with certainty, but they are still useful because they show that care and skill should be used in our sacred music." And I really liked that because it can be hard to put ourselves in the shoes or sandals of people who lived that long ago. And it can be a little disconcerting maybe to hear, hey, there are words we don't actually know what these mean. But it's comforting to me to know that whatever it is they mean, it was crafted with skill, and these terms indicate that. They show how much love and care that these people were putting into the music that they were crafting for the temple and for themselves with God. So Psalm 46, 1 through 3. The psalm opens with this statement, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." It opens with the statement that God is a strong refuge and very present. And it actually also closes with the statement and has the same statement right in the center. And that's a mirroring effect that you do see in a lot of psalms that Tom Kay talked briefly about in the opening of this series. The wordplay that the writers often use to hammer home the idea that they want, the theme that they want from each psalm for us to, I guess, take home. And after this, the psalm puts up the two main parts of this planet, the earth and the sea. We refer to the whole planet as earth, but often in scripture, earth means the land, and then there's the ocean. It says, "Even if they utterly fail, if they break apart, if the mountains fall into the sea, God is still a strong fortress. He does not need an earthly foundation. And if we are in him, we don't need an earthly foundation either. And what's really interesting about these particular verses is it's not just talking about earthquakes. It's not just talking about foundations failing. It's actually going back to creation itself, the very beginning when God brought land out of the ocean. And it, in effect, mirrors or reverses that and says, even if the mountains collapse into the heart of the sea, God is still with us and we will not fear. That is, I think, a very deliberate evoking of the idea that even if creation itself were reversed, it's not just talking about earthquakes, it's talking about the undoing of everything that we take for granted. Even if that happens, God is a strong refuge and we do not need to fear. Psalm 46, 4 through 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. So this is, as much as I like this psalm, for a long time I was really confused by this shift because it's talking about the mountains collapsing and God is a fortress. And then it just goes, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It seems kind of a tone shift or even a complete subject change. And to be fair, in the scripture, there is actually another word that we aren't quite sure what it means. It comes up a lot in Psalms, it's Selah. Usually, scholars will say it means to pause and reflect. It could be a musical term. So there is a pause. There is a moment in between those two before the shift happens. But as I studied this more, I was able to kind of make better connections to what is going on here. And I think I got distracted because I spent time trying to figure out what is the river supposed to be. And I looked it up in commentaries. I thought it might help to find out what the river is that it's talking about. And commentaries weren't super helpful. I mean, there were tons of different ideas. They were the streams of God and his virtues. They were the stream of God, and the tributaries were his people. Some commentaries very confidently said, well, this is obviously this spring that flows out of Jerusalem itself, the mountain of Jerusalem, or it's this spring that flows. This is the pool of Siloam. Everyone was very confident about it, and they were all different ideas. And to be fair, it's possible that to an extent all of those are what the psalmist is trying to make us think about. There can be multiple meanings, but none of them were particularly helpful for connecting this section with the previous section and with the idea of the psalm itself until I realized that I think what this part of the psalm is about, it's not saying, okay, try and figure out what the stream is, but look at what it's doing. Look at what it is describing about what it is like to live in the city of God. And that helped me a lot because when I think of a strong fortress, particularly in the midst of a storm, I think of a towering castle, kind of forbidding, maybe, especially in context of this psalm, perched on a sea cliff. There are oceans roaring. It's gray, it's drizzly, it's cold. You could even think of a bunker, maybe, where people are huddling and trying to last the night of storms or bombs or whatever it is that is threatening us. But that's not what this psalm is saying. The psalm is saying, yes, all these crazy things are happening, and yes, God does not need a foundation of earth, and he is a strong fortress, but it is not a cold, cramped, dark fortress. It is a city of God where his water flows through. This is not a place where we just huddle to last out the night and hope we survive, or huddle and last out the night and joyfully expect to survive and sing psalms in the middle of darkness and dampness in a cave. This is a place of abundance. And it's a place of peace. It's where we are meant to dwell, not just hide. This is where we are to live our lives. And it says his people will not be moved. There is provision and even gladness, not merely survival. Let's go to verses 6 through 7. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So here the psalm directly contrasts the city of God, the glorious, river-filled, joyful city of God with the outside world. The nations around are in chaos. The earth is melting. The kingdoms are broken. Outside the fortress is not where we want to be. And it's important to think of this, to remember that the description of this fortress is not exclusive. Or I should say, it is not a threat or a warning. God speaking and having the psalmist here write of his fortress is an invitation. God does not put welcome mats out in front of locked gates. That gate is open, and anyone who runs to him, whether the storm is about to start, the storm is in the middle of starting, anyone who runs to him can go right through that gate. It's not a gate that opens to disaster. It's not a gate that opens and just lets death in. It is a gate that opens for anyone who is eagerly seeking God in his life. And verse 8 through 10, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So these desolations, and this invitation the psalm gives to view the desolations of the earth, it's another thing where commentaries have different ideas of what they mean. Some said they were the literal catastrophes that God brought on the world. For example, the flood, or it could be any of the other large nations that attacked Israel that God obliterated. Some see it as God's destruction of the kingdoms that oppressed Israel. And to be fair, the psalmist may very well have seen it that way as he wrote it. But that doesn't connect very well with the next part of these verses where it talks about God breaking spears and ending war. And so I think that the commentarian Gerald Wilson makes a stronger connection to the verses that follow. So he said, the works of God here are reasons for horror to those who want to rule the earth with military might. The connection here is watch what God does to the might of mankind, to this idea that might makes right, that if I have a longer spear or a sharper sword or more horses or better chariots than you, then I get to take over the world and I will be the King of Kings and I will be exalted. God says, no, I will be exalted. I am King of the earth. That does not belong to anyone else. And it's better for all of us if he is the one who is in charge. These works of God, breaking spears, breaking the idea of might makes right, is a desolation and a horror to our human perspective. And I wanted to zoom in very closely on this verse where it says, be still and know that I am God. Other translations say, cease striving and know that I am God. Who here has heard that verse just on its own or quoted that verse in a difficult time? It comes up a lot. And I think there is something to the idea where when it comes up, it's often in this idea that, you know, I'm struggling with the situation. There's a lot of chaos going around me. And I feel like God is saying, be still, calm down, take a breath, and just know that I've got this. And that is true, but I don't think that is the grander idea that this verse in context is getting at. In the middle of breaking spears, in the middle of stopping this warfare and this vying back and forth for who gets to control things, God says, be still, cease striving. Know that I am God, I will be exalted. Not me, not you. We are not in charge of the world. And even if any of us were these grand leaders of these giant countries and we had all the warfare tools at our disposal, and even if we were plowing through land and plowing through people and taking things over, our time is limited. Now, we probably don't relate very much to that last description, but the idea of us kind of vying for struggle over our own lives, absolutely, all the time. All we want to do, especially often in the midst of difficulty, is to sit down on the throne and be like, listen, if I could just make this stop, if I can just fix this, if I can just plan enough or plan enough ahead of time, then this would never happen in the first place. And God is saying, while you are trying to bring your strength and your weaponry to this fight, he's breaking those things and saying, stop it. I am in control here. I am the ruler of your life, and I am the ruler of the world. This verse is about breaking our constant efforts to assert ourselves as rulers over our lives. Psalm 46:11. So here the psalmist repeats, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It mirrors its opening and it mirrors the verse right in the middle. God is present. God is a refuge. No matter how bad things get, no matter if a disaster is natural or if it's man-made or if it's self-made, God is still here. And it is a reminder, after talking about God breaking spears and bows and after the joyfulness of being within God's refuge and all that, it is a reminder that we are still actually often dealing with disaster. That does not go away. Being in the refuge, we could say unfortunately, does not mean that catastrophes won't happen. It doesn't mean we won't experience difficulty. It's obvious to every one of us, and it's obvious to the writer of this psalm that these words don't mean we're free from these calamities in our life. Disasters don't just happen to those outside the fortress, but those outside the fortress don't have the assurance and hope that we have within. This psalm has been not just my favorite because I happen to like it, but it has been a huge comfort to me. Very recently, when my family and I moved from Milford to Shelton a couple of years back, and we found a really nice place, and a whole bunch of you helped us move, and I still remember when the day that we moved, it was cold, it was dreary, it was drizzling rain. We got everything in the house. The house was utter chaos. We had Matthias, who was little at the time, and we had Galaxy, of course, and so she's like, oh, this is a new place, this is great, but a little chaotic. And I remember after the last truckload, I left Amanda, my wife, to kind of finish up at the previous apartment, and I took the kids. I'm gonna take possession of this new house, right? It's like, we're now here, we're gonna sleep here the night. And I walk in the door with little Matthias and with rambunctious Galaxy. And we had one half of a duplex. On the other side of the wall, as I walk in, I hear our neighbors screaming obscenities at each other. Just every word, clear as day through the wall. My kids are hearing it. And for those of you who know a little bit of our story, we adopted them, and their beginning was not easy. And so there's some trauma involved with that kind of environment. And I remember walking in that door on that day, going from, okay, this is chaotic, but we got this. We just moved, it's a little dreary, but it's fine. This is a nice place, to, God, what have I gotten my family into? I so clearly remember what that felt like. And some of you may know, the situation didn't really improve. I mean, the chaos of the move went away and we did our best to make it a safe home on our half. But that screaming, that environment continued almost nightly for the entire time we were there. So this psalm, this idea that no matter what is going on around us, we still have a refuge in God, is something that I have clung to. And there have been a lot of other things that have happened in my life, difficult things. But if there was a spectrum of intense difficulty and kind of an easy life, I might put myself a little bit closer to the kind of an easy life, if I'm being honest with myself. Some of you here may be wildly on the opposite side of the spectrum. You're like, no, this, yeah, totally get it. Earthquakes, mountains melting, yeah, that sounds exactly like my life. But if you are sitting here and you're going, well, man, this sounds extreme. I don't know if I have those kind of disasters very often. What I would say to you, wherever you are on this spectrum, you don't have to compare yourself to others. You don't have to feel bad because, oh, you know, this, I haven't had a bad life. Or if you're really in the thick of it all the time, you are where you are in God's fortress if you cling to him. And when you're standing on what we take for granted as solid earth, even the tiniest tremor can make you question everything. It's okay to feel that way. So if you're thinking, hey, my life isn't so bad, don't downplay your struggles. Don't get me wrong, be grateful. Try to be grateful when things are going well, and sometimes they do. But it's okay to feel shaken on your own ground. It's okay to have those feelings. You don't have to compare yourself to other people. The thing about catastrophes is that there's always a new one. Life keeps happening. Sometimes things are great for a while, and then something breaks. And if it isn't ours breaking, it's someone we love. And that can be so difficult as well. Over and over again, it breaks, and it feels so hard just to keep your head above each successive wave. And frankly, there's always the old catastrophes too. Whether it's a long, long recovery process from something that happened that you're still going through, or it's a deep, deep wound that keeps reopening over and over again as we strain against what happened. We feel every atom of this fallen rock, and we struggle for every breath in the midst of this raging sea. This scripture, this psalm, is not meant to sweep away those feelings. It's not meant for us to go, I am joyful and happy, and this is what I feel, or it's wrong if I feel overwhelmed. And it's even less is it supposed to be used against someone else as they're struggling, to be like, oh, well, here's this pithy statement that'll make you feel better. It cannot be used to pretend that what is broken is actually fine. It is meant to give us hope. It's to remind us that God knows the struggle of his people. And for those of us in the gospel age, long after this psalm was written, we know that God doesn't just know the struggle, he lived this struggle. In the person of his son, Jesus, he dealt with so many of these things, and arguably, not to compare, worse than what we did for far less reason. He did not get himself into any of his situation by making bad decisions, but he lived through things like this, and he lives with us in these. He knows how it feels. These words give us just enough buoyancy to stay afloat. They give us just enough strength to shift the landslide, just long enough to see those waters of joy in the city of God and to hear his voice melt the rocks away. So whatever you take home from this, whatever sticks in your mind, just remember that whatever earth-shaking or life-changing catastrophes happen, God is the maker of earth and life, and he is infinitely stronger. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to read through Psalm 46 one more time as we close. Lord Jesus, please encourage us. Help us to remember that you walk with us. Sometimes you drag us kicking and screaming, like Kate had said in that comic, but that you are with us and you know how it feels. And that whether our earth is trembling just a little, or whether it feels like creation itself is being undone and the mountains are falling back into the heart of the sea, help us remember that your fortress does not need an earthly foundation. And above all, help us stay in the fortress when things are good and to go, come to you and rely on you even when disasters are not currently happening. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.